each week when our youth come down for prayer, it makes me think of when I was 9 years old. That was 80 years ago. Nevertheless, it makes me think of 80 years ago when I accepted Christ as my Savior, when I was 9 years old. And I've been able to live my life with the assurance that I would have life eternal. Now, did I always live up to what I knew? No. But I knew it. And at this point in my life, I've come to the point that my purpose is something that is stated in Psalm 71. Psalm 71, verses 17 and 18, and I'm just going to read these to you. Otherwise, I'm likely to mess them up. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. I try and live by that daily. Thank you.
Okay. So I went into the fast a couple days beforehand telling God that I was going to pray for my kids, which I did, but a couple days before, is that too loud? I started actually feeling him say to me, I want you to pray about your heart along with your kids. So I actually started praying about my heart, and questions just started flooding my mind, and I started writing them down. I only wrote down a few, but I probably had 15 or 20 questions instantly. One was, am I kind-hearted? Am I tender-hearted towards my kids? is my place a home that my family loves to be at? And if not, how do I create that? Are my words a blessing or a curse? My words have the power to influence my kids and their hearts. So I was realizing what I say counts, matters. And then also kind of, my kids are own people, but if my kids are, and their actions and attitudes are at least a little reflection of who I am, am I happy with what I see? So it's reflecting on that and how God can change me so that I can reflect change on my kids. And then I also started wondering, if my kids made a big mistake, would I be their first call? And I started thinking, am I too harsh that they'd be scared to call me? So I really prayed that, I'm not saying not to discipline your kids, I'm not saying that, just is our home a place of discipline and love and forgiveness and grace? So I really prayed about that. So kind of just before the fast even started, I had all these questions, and I was reading up, I went through Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, I kind of went through a lot of the New Testament and really prayed about our house, if it really is a home. And so I'd say this kind of encouragement for moms, where we get to, husbands get to be the head of the house, but we get to be the heart, and how we get to serve and love, and we get to create a place that has love and purpose and beauty and relationships and fun and good food and feeling joy in that. And we, as mothers, have the opportunity to influence, affect eternity, and build a spiritual legacy in our kids. The way that we invest our time, our money, our resources, our energy actually have long-term consequences or blessings, right? So we have to be very intentional with what we are teaching and passing down. But what I really kind of meditating on was Philippians 4. But I'll skip down to, so Philippians 4:4, started there, but rejoice in the Lord always again. I will say rejoice. And that was another thing. Is our home full of joy? Am I full of joy? So I wanted, prayed about that. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about everything, about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if anything is excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And whatever you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And what I loved about reading back, meditating on that, was a long time we've memorized that verse in Chad's home group, and it really, I could feel the Holy Spirit just bringing the words back to me, so it was very sweet. But yeah, I just want to encourage moms that our house can be the home, we can really work on the home that we want to be, you know, what we want it to be for the Lord, so.
I was going to say that God was dealing with me about fear of John Cochran, but I'm not going to say that. I've been dealing with an attitude in serving that I haven't been serving with the attitude that I should have. With a godly attitude. And in 2 Corinthians 9:7, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And I don't know if you can remember, several years ago, I had an analogy based on the poem, Footprints in the Sand, and you know the poem. Two sets of footprints, and then one set, and God, Jesus carried me. That's why there's only one set at the end. And then my take was, I call it Footprints Two, and it was two sets of footprints. Became one, and then it turns out that Jesus went this way and I went that way. Okay. So this time I have it's Footprints Three. And it's also called Heel Prints in the Sand. That was supposed to be a joke. Heel prints, get it? Anyway. So when the Israelites were going through the desert, and God said that the reason I'm having you go through the desert for these last 40 years was to humble you and teach you, show you what's in your heart, you know. And so I kind of had a nip plant so dry. If my lips stick together, it's because there's a reason for it. My experience where God was trying to show me what was in my heart really had to do a lot with my managing the camp pool. It really brought out a lot of stuff in my heart. It brought out, I used to live in fear of getting that phone call from Chris Shutt, because I knew there was something wrong. He never called me to say, wow, everything's going great, Bob. So, and I thank God for Chris. And so I would go begrudgingly to the pool. At first, I took care of the pool since the very first year that we bought the camp, and that was a long time ago. And so, not only did I have an issue with my own heart, dealing with having to go do it. I also was, I used to be greatly bothered by the lack of help. You know, like people like Dawn and Dawn, and this young lady right here, Laura, and other people if I miss you. Anyway, and it kind of got worse. You would think that, you know, I mean, it's your pool, it's not mine. So I would repent daily. And so God really showed me what was in my heart. And I'm really trying to overcome that. You know, that God, we're supposed to have a joyful heart when we give. And obviously, I didn't do it. And so I had heel prints in the sand. You know, just like God led the Israelites through the desert. And but Moses had to drag a lot of them. And there were a lot of heel prints in that sand, and it was for 40 years. So Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And that's what I want to do. That's my attitude, hopefully. That's all I have to say about it.
Footprints 3 sounds like a horror movie. Yeah, it sounds like it was for you. So on Friday night, when we were all gathered here for prayer, I got up and read the first three verses of Hosea 6. And after we were done praying, Dr. Thomas Coburn came down and immediately found me and said that at the moment that I came up to read Hosea 6, 1 through 3, he had his Bible and he was coming up to read Hosea 6, 1 through 3. And Hosea 6, 1 through 3 is not like Psalm 23 or, you know, John 3:16. And so I thought I would read it. I think it's a word from the Lord to us. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live before him. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth.
So I just pray that I can give you these words in the order that God wants me to give them to you. I don't usually get a word from the Lord in a time like that, you know, in a fasting and prayer all together. But in the midst of all that, I got a word, and it was for a person in particular and a family. But I was sitting here and I'm thinking, you know, this is really for the whole church. And that word was that you all, would know the power of the presence of God and that you would feel and wear the weight of his glory. Two different thoughts, but they go well together. And that is encapsulated in what has been a crazy season in our life. I had a job in the middle of our fasting. I had a photo job. And on the way over to Louisville to do this job, this song came back to me that I've known for years. It's by the Imperials, and it's called Praise the Lord. Anybody you know that song, Praise the Lord? So here are the words, and I'll just read through them real quick. When you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifest schemes, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears, don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Praise the Lord, He can work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord, for our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord, for the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you when you praise Him. And it goes on, but our season, it's a long story, and I'm not going to share it with you. Some of the guys know it in our group. But it's basically based on the concept of Dr. Seuss, Alexander and the Terrible, instead of Alexander, it's Steve and Laura, and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad, Not Day, Season. And it's still been going on. We had another saga today that I'll share with you guys later. But the whole point is that I think we as a church, in what we were trying to accomplish, in coming together to seek God and meet with Him, are faced with the struggles of Satan, really PO, that we're trying to do something for the glory of God. And this other verse, now Satan is a liar and he wants to make us think that we are paupers. When he knows himself, we're children of the King. So lift up your mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ has risen, so the work is already done. Praise the Lord.
This was just a prayer on my heart during the fast. And maybe it comes like what Ashley shared as a mom. I have three, obviously, young men, boys, trying to adult and become, obviously, young men. So during the fast, I read a lot out of 1 John and this verse in particular. So if you're a young man in the room, pay attention. This was my prayer for all of you. Just, I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. So that was just on my heart to pray that our men would walk in that truth.
I think every one of these testimony nights I've never planned to share. I think I've shared every time. but yeah, some people, maybe most people for the fast, they're like dreading it, going into it, and then it happens, and they're like, oh, actually, that wasn't so bad. I didn't die. I have the opposite experience every year. I'm always like, all right, here we go. We're going to do this. And it's the worst. It's so hard. And it's horrible. And I never feel like God does anything amazing or awesome. I look at some of my roommates, and they're like, man, God's changing my life. And I'm like, I just am so hungry. but I want to share indeed, that's how this year, it was really hard. I didn't feel like I got anything out of it. And then just the couple weeks since the fast I just noticed there were some things that I was praying for during the fast that I was working on in my own heart that I wanted to grow in, and situations. And none of that really changed or got better. And I was, you know, kind of discouraged. But then I've just realized God did something else big in my heart that I wasn't expecting at all. And so in particular, I just realized that I've been living in more and more, I think, of a place of judgment towards other people, and kind of both ways, judging other people in comparison to me and judging myself in comparison to other people. And that's not healthy, and it's been going on, and I just have been freed of that over the last couple of weeks, and it's been much better. But I just realized, like, wow, I feel lighter, and I'm not judging people, and I'm not worried about other people, how they view me, which is something I've wrestled with for a long time. And as I was sitting there planning not to share, Romans 8 came to mind, where it says, "Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" I just am reminded that everyone around me, God loves those who are following him, those who are not following him. And I have, now that I'm freed of like looking on people in comparison and how well are they doing or how well am I doing, I'm free to like, for my heart to break for the misery of those who are lost and to like actually love them and help them see God's love. And I'm free to receive God's love for myself. And so that's a good thing. So praise God.
Good evening. I also not planned to share, but felt the Lord press this upon me. I've shared with the guys in our group, and I believe even in our home group, but it was something that actually came to me probably in the week before the fast. I actually look at it as kind of a unique challenge, but a very finite period of time. And so I tend to look at it as a, honestly, a unique kind of like a 12-round fight in a way, and a chance to wrestle in a way with things that I need to wrestle with. I think I take it appropriately seriously, but I will, much like Charles, say that at the end of it, I'm exhausted physically, emotionally, spiritually. And I look at that final moment as a great time together, a great celebration, but the end, very much the end. And it was something that struck me, and I think the very last or second to last sentence of Ben's prayer at the breaking of the fast, where he said, "God, please give us clarity as we continue to hear from you as we come out of this." And to me, it was like, man, there isn't an on-ramp onto the fast and then an immediate stop. We're not going 100 miles an hour and then stopping and moving on with life. There's this off-ramp to the fast, or maybe, just maybe, the fast is the on-ramp to what's next. And I think that says, over the last 2 weeks, I've been feeling like the fast has been an entree into what God wants us to hear, perhaps. And so don't look at it as a finite piece. And maybe you haven't. Maybe that was just me. But I've seen my eyes open, my heart been open to different things in my own life, in our family, and my wife, in our relationship together, professionally, in all these different areas. And I hope I would have seen it otherwise. I'm just very thankful for Ben's word. And it's also, I think, very confirmatory for those of you that have continued to read Kelly's primer and remind us, which reminds us of what I think Billy may have said. It may be the last hour of the fast. And I keep saying, what if it's actually the 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months after the fast that God really wants to hear from us?
So during the fast, I re-listened to the Roman sermons that Chad has done. And in one of them, he pointed out how Paul opens Romans and many of his other letters just thanking God for the church. And when he's praying for one of his churches, the first thing he does is thank God for them. And Chad pointed out, like, how often when you pray for someone, do you start with thanking God for them? Like, how often instead do you just, like, pray, like, out of frustration or you're worried about them? How often do you start by thanking God for them? And I realized that when I pray for people, I need to start from thanking, from Thanksgiving. So that's something I really learned.